cloth, any of which he could sell for a tidy sum. Gripping the tiller, he turned around to his son.
Up with you now, he said. Up and get the gaff.
The youngster looked up uncomprehendingly, and his father gestured to the chest. He jumped up and hurried back to rummage among the nets and ropes, finally extracting a long pole with a metal hook at the end. As they drew closer, the father issuing instructions in a low voice, the boy reached out and snagged the chest. The old man, using a shorter hook, caught one of the ropes at the opposite end. Little by little, they'd brought it closer and then prepared to lift it in.
That's it. Easy. Jesus and Mary.
Suddenly a hand, human, had grabbed the old man's arm. Dumbstruck, the old man stared at it. It was being pulled down towards the dark water. Before he could react, a wave struck the boat, and as quickly as it had come, the apparition was gone. The boy grabbed the fishing lantern, pulling back the shutter. A shaft of light fell on a body gripping the side of the trunk, trying to stay above water. It turned its face towards the light. In place of eyes were two dark openings. A sort of grimace or snarl overtook its features. It seemed to be trying to speak, but instead of words, a gurgling issued forth, followed by a low moan. It didn't look likely to withstand the sea's buffeting much longer. The father hesitated for a moment before barking at the son.
Keep the chest steady!
The boy stood stock still. Ashen, he couldn't take his eyes off the creature. Another wave came, putting distance between boat and chest.
Damn it, boy!
Father, are you... Should we...
The chest began to go under again.
Come on, Eve!
The son took up the gaff again and dragged the chest close, finally pinning it against the side. The old man steadied himself before seizing the creature's outstretched arm. It was cold and slippery to the touch. Shutting his eyes and breathing deep, he hauled it aboard. The creature rolled onto the deck, then lay still on its back. Rather than the tail of a fish, as the old man had expected, waist down there was a pair of legs. It was naked, and instead of a pelt, had skin of a brilliant, almost transparent white. Its stomach bore a terrible gash, black at the edges. The boy was reminded of the scaled fish you saw at market. The old man moved closer, leaning cautiously down and prodding the form for any sign of life. Seeing further cuts all across the chest, a shiver ran through him. Pushing lightly, his hand sunk into the skin, which had all the solidity of butter. A sharp stench reached his nose, sending him stumbling back into the tobacco crates. The boy went over to help him up, and the pair, huddling close together, eyed the battered figure as it lay completely still.
What have we brought aboard, Father?
As Christ is Lord, I do not know. A moment later, the body of the creature lit up, a momentary brilliance that revealed beneath the skin a structure that seemed to resemble the branches of a tree, a single pulse of light. In unison, father and son made the sign of the cross. Chapter 2.
That's all for today, gentlemen. The lecture theatre filled with the sound of benches being scraped back. Standing at the front, the young professor gathered his notes and placed them in his satchel, watching the students file out. Much as he tried to give off an air of gravitas, he couldn't help but smile. Only a few months earlier, he himself had been one of them, and now here he was completing his second week of lectures on this side of the lectern. He went over to a window. The sky was full of dark grey clouds, but that could do little to alter his mood. His path to that lectern had been long and winding, and no one could say he didn't deserve his position. Looking out over the quad, he was about to let out a contented sigh, when a voice sprang up behind him.
Professor Amat.
A young student stood at the door.
Yes?
Apologies, Professor. Sir Edward wishes to see you.
I'm on my way.
Just listen to that, Professor. Professor and faculty member at Magdalen College, one of the most prestigious colleges in all of Oxford. He'd been brought in as cover for Professor Brown, who had an unfortunate case of gout, but that hardly detracted from the achievement. He was on his way. He'd have his own post in no time. When the opportunity had arisen, he'd grasped it with both hands. Now, gathering his things, he left the room in which he was to give lectures in Greek.